Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation. Did I ask for this song? I don't even remember anymore. Shaboom, by who? It is the Savage Nation, specializing in 12-plus audiences. And since it's open mic to mic Friday, I've got so much news that could agitate you for the entire weekend that I'm going to have to slip it in silently the way it was used to be known to in the old days in the South Pacific. I met some old colonialists who said that before they would slaughter turkeys, they would get them drunk on gin. And then they would slaughter them quickly, and that way the flesh was kept soft. Now, I don't intend to slaughter you with my stories today, but believe me, they're frightening. The radical Islamists have gotten even with the killing of the porno-watching Osama bin Laden by blowing up 70 Pakistani Muslim recruits. So listen to what I just said to you. Muslim killing Muslim. But there's a difference between the jihadist Muslim and those in Pakistan who don't want to be jihadists, those who don't want to mutilate their women and put them in 15th century costumes. So 70 of them died, were killed, slaughtered by these vermin. And Geert Wilders, you don't know who he is, but I'll tell you in a minute, says a warning to America. He said, be very, very careful because you are losing. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean all Muslims, radical Muslims? It's hard to, as you can see in Egypt, it didn't really matter at the end of the day. When you see vermin in the media like Anderson Cooper celebrating the Arab Spring when in fact it was not the Arab Spring but the Arab death being brought upon the most populous Muslim nation on earth. Why couldn't the same thing happen here? We have a Muslim Brotherhood in this country. Make no mistake about it. There is a large network of radical Islamists in this country. They may not call themselves the Muslim Brotherhood, but they're here. They're all over this country. And now we're being told, oh, get ready for the slapback from the Al-Qaeda. They're going to get us. They're going to blow something up here or there. Now, you know the solution to stop this too with a very high percentile, which is racial profiling. I realize you're not even allowed to say the two words together, but let us take you back mentally so that you can again be sane for 2 seconds. Suddenly it's 1940-41, or whenever we declared war on Germany. Actually, Hitler declared war on America first. That was his big mistake. 41, 42, I believe. And the country's filled with Germans. Now, certainly not all Germans were Nazis, but there were Nazis living in the German community. And there were, in the Japanese community, spies here in the United States of America. Yes, there were. And so, therefore, the U.S. government at that time said, we're not going to look amongst the Irish community. We're not going to look amongst the Norwegian community. We're not going to search amongst the African community. We're not going to look amongst the Chinese community. We're going to look amongst the Japanese-American community, and we're going to look amongst the German-American community, and we're going to do what we have to do to make sure that they are surveyed and followed and watched, because we don't want them blowing up ships in the harbor and derailing trains. That's what America was saying. Now fast forward to 2011. We're sitting here with our pants down, and we're saying, okay, they're going to hit us back for killing Osama bin Laden. Tip of the hat to President Obama. He is in power. He gets the credit for it. And we're doing nothing about it. Instead, they're frisking infants at airports. White infants in particular are the first on the line to be frisked by the TSA. And you know this is insanity. You know this is a direct result of 40 years of the brains being beaten in by the ACLU, the most dangerous, subversive organization in the history of America, an organization that if I had the power would be immediately put out of business, their assets seized, and they'd be deported. But I'm not in power. I'm only a talk show host. So I leave it to you. And I don't even want to talk about it. I'm just going off on a tangent. If you'd rather I talk about rock and roll and my childhood and drift off again, like Don Corleone in the last few scenes of The Godfather in the orchard with his grandson. You want me to do that and say, I'm drinking more wine now. How you doing, Pop? I'm drinking more now. I'm not drinking more now. I'm actually drinking less now. 1-800-449. Irish Muslim arrested in Dublin over Obama threats. Okay, I'll let that one go. Muslim Brotherhood offers $2 million to Canadian University. Can you believe this? For a new chair in Islamic studies. At the college's historically Anglican faculty of theology, the Muslim Brotherhood wants a Islamic studies. Islamic studies is a front group, by the way, for, well, you do I have to spell this out for you? What are you going to do about it? The Medicare Trust Fund is going to be bankrupt 5 years sooner. That's not news. The Medicare bankrupt? Bankrupt. White House, no more photo reenactment. Did you see the guy on my website who has 107 wives? From he's in Nigeria. He's a Muslim. They only allow four wives. So the local Hoogada Doogada there said, you can only have four, get rid of 103 of them. But he was 87 years old already, and he had 163 children. They left him alone. We understand Obama's trying to bring his entire extended family in a 5,000 under asylum so they could all become instant Democrats and maybe community organizers. The war of the academics, the jihadist next door. How does this happen? How does a guy grow up in Alabama and become an Islamist? Alabama? Dairy? Cows in Berkeley? How does an Islamist grow up in Alabama? I could see an Islamist growing up in Marin County, California, or in Berkeley, California, or in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where the father was not present and the mother was a half-Buddhist whack job who slept with everyone but the milkman. You could see a kid becoming a jihadist, okay, with a mother like that, as we had with Rat Boy. But how in Alabama? The father was Baptist and the father was a Pakistani and the mother was a Baptist or whatever. And he became a wackist. I can't even, here it is. American jihadist leads pro-Al-Qaeda rally in Somalia. All right. So what are you going to do about it? Nothing. Nah, what can you do about anything? The truth is you can do nothing. All you can do is sit there passively and watch the world go round like the Beatles used to sing. Did you see this story? You won't believe this, but I told you in my book, Trickle Up Poverty, that Obama was deracinating the military. I'm going to use the word deracination a lot today. He's deracinating the military as rapidly as he can. He destroyed NASA, and now he's after the military per se. He wants to stop U.S. tank production of the M1 Abrams tank, which will be the first time that U.S. tank production has been paused since World War II under this communist, anti-American, quasi-president that we have. He wants to stop the production of the M1 Abrams tank by 2013. Now, before you say that's not a bad idea, what do we need tanks for? Let me explain something to you. You can't just start an industrial line overnight. Once these men leave and you lose this highly experienced, specialized crew making the M1 Abrams, you think you're going to find another crew like this overnight? You won't even be able to build a tank. You'll have to outsource it to China. You'll have to call up Beijing and ask them if they could build you a tank or make you a part. So there it is. Think very carefully. How many ships are built here anymore? 14 U.S. citizens charged with trying to join Somali terror group. American militants in Somalia releases martyrs rap. Everywhere you turn, there are radical Muslims here in the United States of America, either threatening us, bombing us, or going over there for further training and then threatening us. And the FBI basically sits there doing the best they can, by the way, under the constraints of the Obama administration, which didn't start with him. It started under Bill Clinton. The insanity truly started under Bill Clinton. The pandering, the unlimited immigration, the unlimited flood from around the world. The unlimited flood started then, and now we're facing a deluge. Après moi le deluge, they said. So let me ask you a question, having given you a little rock and roll Friday-ish. I'm not taking a break, don't worry. Don't take a deep breath and go out for the Alka-Seltzer yet. Where do you think Al-Qaeda is going to attack America next? You saw on Monday one of them try to grab a plane down. A Somali ran to the front of the airplane, screamed, "Allah Akbar!" Of course, that didn't make it to the paper. They got it on cameras. Everyone got it. He was screaming, "Allah Akbar!" running, pounding on the pilot's door. So they bring him down, a flight attendant. I don't know what a flight attendant, thank God. And an ex-Secret Service guy, an ex-cop. They take the bum down. They tie him up. Now, the next day, the family from Somalia says he's a good boy. He didn't know where the bathroom was. Now, I didn't know that you scream Allah Akbar on the way to the bathroom. But that's already, they got the excuse. They must have a direct pipeline to the ACLU in Mogadishu. So I suspect that the ACLU has opened up a branch office in every Islamist nation on earth in order to advise them when they're caught on what they should say. So, all right, here's the story, says Marvin from NYU. Here's what you do. In Arabic, it translates. You get caught running forward on an airplane, pounding on the door. You say you were constipated from all the dates that you couldn't get in America. And that's it. We'll get you off on that. Then the guy says, yeah, but I yelled Allah Akbar on the way to the pilot's door. All right, hold it. So you'll have one of your relatives call up and say, you thought Allah Akbar meant where's the toilet? Okay? And that's it. We'll get you off on that one. That's what they're doing. So where will the next attack be in the United States of America? How will Al-Qaeda attack us? Put your head on backwards and try to think like a psychotic piece of garbage who spends his every waking moment thinking about how to kill other people and maim them. Now, it's very hard to actually put your mind in the head of being an Islamist. You got to understand that they're the most perverted people on the planet. Here you have people on earth like saints. They study for 20 years how to reattach a finger, how to reattach a hand, how to do brain surgery, hip surgery, eye surgery, nose surgery, heart surgery. They rescue people. They rescue dogs. They save dogs. These are good, sane people that you find mainly in the Western nations. Now on the other side of the universe, you've how to cut off their head, how to blow up a shopping center, how to make sure more nail bombs go off in supermarkets. How could a human mind have become this demented and perverted is the question. Well, guess what? Don't waste your time. Hire more SEAL teams and kill more of their leaders. And then if you really want to stop them, introduce racial profiling. I'll be right back.
Come along and be my hearty doll. Come along and be my hearty doll. Come along and be my hearty doll. I'll make love to you, to you. I'll make love to you. Well,
it is the Savage Nation. So, look, let's cut to the chase. What do I stand for? Government is not the solution. Government is the problem. Let's start with that. Did I say we don't need any government? No, I'm not an anarchist. Of course we need government. We need a limited government. But government pretends it can take care of you from cradle to grave. And that if you listen to Big Sis and Big Mama, you'll be fine. But we know that they can't do it. No one could do it. It's inhuman. We can do it. Leave us alone. Get out of our way. Stop taxing us to death. Stop regulating us to death. Let us do our own thing. Get out of our way. So I stand for limited government, and I stand for a smaller government, and I stand for less oppressive laws by any government. Look what's going on in Texas. The Texas House passed a bill banning pat-downs by the TSA of anus, sex organ, buttocks, and breast. Now, why should we even have to come to this? The answer is because we have an out-of-control, intrusive federal government, as exemplified and as typified by the TSA, which is out of control. Okay, in plain English, the people of Texas are on the right track. They're far ahead of everybody else, including the schmucks in Hollywood who think they're so smart, but they're on so many different drugs, they're so screwed up, they don't even understand which side they're on, that they're actually in the back of the bus. Guys like Bill Maher are actually in the back of the bus, but they're so stoned all the time that all they got is their smirk thinking they're in the front of the bus. I know these types. I grew up with these kind of schmucks. They think they're smarter than everybody because they're stoned all the time and they smirk at everybody. Everything's a sneer. Everything's a wise guy answer to everybody. But they don't realize they wake up one day at 50 and they're in the back of the mental bus, not the front of it. The whole society left them behind. The people of Texas are way ahead of them. People of Texas are in front of the bus. All these communist big state people, ask them why don't they don't turn over 100% of their paycheck to Obama to give to the poor and to the illegal immigrant. The answer is they'll run as fast as they can away from that kind of taxation. They're hypocrites in addition to being deluded drug addicts. But why do I care? You know who's on in a few minutes after the next break? Senator Inhofe. Now, why do I have him on? He saw the pictures of OBL. And he's going to appear on the Savage Nation and tell us what the pictures are about. Senator Inhofe also believes these pictures of Osama bin Laden with his brains hanging out of his ear, or his eye, should be released to the public and why. I am offended that these people in the White House think that only a certain number of people are capable of looking at these pictures. What are you, crazy? You mean the rest of us are four-fifths human, Mr. Obama? Mr. Abomination? How in the world can you not see what you're doing, Mr. and Mrs. Abomination? How can you do this? You mean only you and your elite friends from Chicago and a few of the wonderful Democrats are mature enough to look at these pictures? And we, the American people, are only four-fifths human. We can't handle it. Again, there's an example of the arrogance of this junior professor who is in the White House. Arrogance beyond anything you could imagine. So Inhofe, a good man from Oklahoma, is going to tell us what the pictures contain right here in the Savage Nation. So the question to you is quickly, come on, get on the line, because you're going to have to get online to get in later. How do you think Al-Qaeda will attack us? Now, listen to what I just said. Put your mind in the mindset, if you can, of these sick, degenerate throwbacks. Try to turn your mind back 1,000 years to a pre-Christian civilization where all I can think about is cutting and killing and beheading and oppressing women and making women into chattel lower than a camel. Try to become one of those people and think how you would kill the freest people on earth. Okay? What are they going to do to us next? Now, I hate even doing a show like this because as far as I'm concerned, believe me, they wouldn't even get to base one if I had the power. I wouldn't even give them a chance to think about what to do to us. I'd start right here and I'd work my way around the world. I mean, Obama did one thing right since he's in office, which is he gave the go-ahead for the SEALs to go and kill Osama bin Laden. Whatever the reason, he did one thing 100% right. Now he's on the right track. He should kill one of their leaders every month for the next 14 months. There's a long list. Okay, one a month. One a month, one a month, one after the other. One terrorist leader a month is all we ask. Why are we looking at pictures of this schmuck from Alabama there, half Muslim, half Baptist, sitting there like a big shot with the skull cap, with the robes on, telling us he's going to kill us? What are the Tomahawk missiles for?
Savage.
All right, look, the big news, no matter what you want to talk about, the biggest news is that Osama bin Laden was killed. Several senators and others saw the pictures, one of whom now joins us in the Savage Nation. He was voted the most outstanding conservative U.S. senator by UN Events newspaper and the American Conservative Union. So let's be very clear, and let's welcome Senator Jim Inhofe to the Savage Nation. Senator Inhofe, a real honor to have you on the program.
Michael, it's great to be back with you.
Thank you very much. So, without going into the gory details, or if you wish, tell us, you did see the pictures of the photos of OBL?
Yeah, we had a secure meeting with Panetta, and I had asked, you know, I'm trying to get him to release the pictures to the public, and I said, well, at least let us look at them so I can go back to Oklahoma, where I am right now, and tell everyone what I saw. So the answer is yes, I saw them. There are 15 pictures, 12 taken in the compound. Probably.
So I think it's important that you can confirm that Osama bin Laden was killed on that night by the United States SEALs, right?
I'm absolutely certain.
Okay, good. And he was buried at sea. You can assure us of that as well.
Yes, I saw the picture of the burial.
So, Senator Inhofe, I find it rather offensive that the government would say that only they're mature enough to see these pictures, but the American people are too childish to see them.
Well, the people should, but it's going to take a lot of demand out there. The argument, Michael, stop and think this through. The argument that the White House uses, well, we don't want to do this. This is going to create all kinds of reprisals and all that. The terrorists want to kill everyone who's listening to you and me right now. And they've tried it some 32 times since 9/11. We had excellent intelligence, was able to stop it. But, they're still out there trying. And to me, if we don't do it, they're looking at that in one of two things. Well, they probably didn't really get him. Or they say, well, why are they so afraid of us?
That's right. So I agree with you.
Agree with that.
Look, Senator, we're at war with these animals. And it's time they understood we have the most powerful advanced military on Earth, and we'll come to get them wherever they are. I mean, that's the message.
You got it. And why are we embarrassed to deliver that message?
I don't know, and I have to commend President Obama. It occurred on his watch. He had to give the thumbs up. He could have said no to the SEAL action, correct?
You know, that's right. I do, but let's remember one thing, Michael, and you know this also. I've been kind of leading this effort to keep Gitmo open. He has done everything. He has an obsession for the last 3 years to close Gitmo and to stop the CIA from using interrogation techniques that were very effective. Now, if he had had his way, then Osama bin Laden would probably be alive today, because we started with the information that we were able to get at Gitmo, which is a great installation, I might say, and of course, with the CIA doing their work. So anyway, yes, I applaud him for making the decision to go ahead and get him, but let's keep in mind, this has been going on. This is the end of about a 10-year effort.
Well, again, I agree with you, and I find it insulting that he would say the American people are too immature to look at the pictures. After all, look at the landscape of the American media. I'm sure that the photos of Osama bin Laden's skull being blown open are gruesome, but I don't think that they would be more gruesome than a good percentage of the movies coming out of Hollywood, correct?
That's right. Well, in a way, here, let me throw out an idea here, because this is what I'm proposing. The second round of these pictures, the ones that were taken on USS Vincent in the North Arabian Sea, those pictures were after he was cleaned up and ready for burial. And when you look at them, you can tell. There's no doubt. No one can look at these pictures and say that's not Osama bin Laden. So at least they could release those, because that's when the face was cleaned up and all that.
Now, I have a question about it. He was buried on the USS Carl Vinson at sea. Did the entire complement of the crew witness this burial?
I don't know if they did or not. The pictures I saw only showed him as it was starting to take place. He was on a black cot. It was right on the edge, and nobody else was in the picture because it was up close, and you could see the hands that were getting ready to raise it up and slide him into the sea. I didn't see any other faces in these pictures.
Well, they probably slid him out from the one of the lower decks. I've been on
It was on the top, in the top deck, because you see the blue water in the background. What I'm saying is, it's probable that everybody on deck saw the body, but I can't say that because they were not in the picture.
Well, I don't want to starting with the gratuitous violence, but was it a single shot to the head or a two shots?
No, it was a single shot to the head. Now, when I first saw it, it looked like I thought that the shot went through the right ear and it came out the left eye. But I've been told that that's not the case, that it went into the eye and came out of the ear. They actually had close-up shots of the ear as well as the eye.
Now, so went in the eye. So they shot him in the eye. It was sort of a mob hit. It looked like a mob hit, like the old in the old days. Senator, without getting comedic in the political arena, why do you suppose this execution, why was it chosen for that day, that night? Is there a political reason for that?
You know, I don't have any way of knowing that. I've gone through all the secure briefings. There are a couple of things I probably couldn't say, but I don't know about that particular night, but I do know this, or I suspect this, and I get this from a lot of the military people who have the, I'm not divulging anything when I say this, that the SEALs themselves didn't know what the mission was until they're almost ready to execute it. I mean, actually over there on site, and I think there's a good reason for that. And they did it just beautifully. It couldn't have been done better. And they went in. They risked their lives. They had a contingency backup. They had to use it because of a failure of part of one of the helicopters. So it was done beautifully. And I do. I know. I applaud the president for knowing that, because if he hadn't done it, it might be that we would never have known that we knew where he was and we got him. And so at least that part was. But let's keep in mind, it was from information that we got that he was, that came
right
from Gitmo. By the way, on Gitmo, there's just one thing I'd like to say, Michael, because I want you to know it and your listeners to know it. I have been doing everything I can in successfully to stop them from closing Gitmo. But there's not many people realize that since Barack Obama has been president of the United States, he has not sent one terrorist, one combatant into Gitmo. And so that means that you now have to put them wherever you get them, if it's Yemen, if it's Iraq, if it's Afghanistan. And that's a revolving door. I mean,
you mean he's not bringing him there for interrogation?
Yeah. And then if we could bring him back to Gitmo, the president actually released 600 of them. Intelligence tells us now that some 150 of those are back trying to kill Americans again. So we got to get them in there. We have a good, secure place to keep them. We have an expeditionary legal complex, which you don't have any place else, where you can actually have the military tribunals. So this is just insane to think that we would close and give up an opportunity that we have. Did you know we only pay $4,000 a year for Gitmo?
Hasn't
cashed about the last three checks, so it's even cheaper than that.
What do you mean, $4,000 a year to Castro?
Yeah, we released that from Cuba. We have
only $4,000 for half the island. Wow. Well, I'd like to know which government pulled that deal off.
Well, we did, but that was 1903, and they haven't raised the price.
Well, that was under Teddy Roosevelt. It's as good a deal as Manhattan for a couple of beads, you know.
You can't find a better deal, Michael, in government than we have down there. And I just want to make sure that we continue to use it, and that we force somehow. We have legislation. I introduced it on Friday that will force the authorities to, any time that we have a high value detainee, that we don't put them in Yemen or someplace else, that we bring them back here where we can interrogate them, we can keep them, it's safe, they're treated in probably a more humane. You know what the biggest problem they have in Gitmo is right now?
Mm-mm.
Obesity. These guys never eaten better in their lives.
Oh, that's horrible. Well, six halal meals a day and praying and playing volleyball, you know, you don't burn off the calories the same way you would building bombs and cutting off people's heads. They burn off more calories that way.
You got it.
Senator, how many terms have you served as a senator in Oklahoma?
I was elected in a special election in 1994, and so I've been there since 1994.
Now, I hope to God you're intending to stay there a while, or are you planning anything else or not?
No, I'm not. But if they say I'm too old, so long as I can fly an airplane upside down, I'm going to stay.
Oh, I know you had a military career. Now, was that in the Air Force?
No, it was actually in the Army. But I've been an active pilot for 55 years, and that's what I enjoy doing, and I fly around the state. I did today, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so when you go to Washington, I understand you come home for the weekend to Oklahoma because you have a lovely wife of 48 years.
51 years.
Oh, my goodness. And you have 12 grandchildren, God bless them.
We have 20 kids and grandkids, and they all but six, listen to this, all but six of our 20 kids and grandkids live next door to us.
Oh, my God. How do you pull that one off?
Oh, I don't know. It's in this day and age, it's hard to do, but about every sixth weekend, I go to either Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa, or one of those. And then the other five weekends, I'm back home. I'm not going to stay in Washington. That's where, if you want to be around normal people, you get out of Washington. That's what I
think. Well, I'm amazed that all of you live so close to each other and to think you still talk to each other. That must mean you don't come from New York, I can tell you that.
No, we're... Truly bad.
Well, Senator, you're a real—you're really one of the great Americans, and I don't use that phrase at all because it's been overused and it's a hackneyed phrase in so many ways. But you know, it's guys like you that keep the government going. What can the people do who are listening to the show, and there are many of them, to encourage those in Washington who are wavering to keep Gitmo open?
They can right now, the majority are afraid of the public because the alternative was, and we made it very clear, Obama is going to bring these combatants into the United States, either for prosecution or for incarceration. Well, you can't. In fact, some of them, he was going to do it in Fort Sill in Oklahoma, and once we explained to the people, they put so much pressure on the White House that we won that fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we're going to be all right there. But what I want to do is get the get enough of the just a handful of Democrats to join us in passing this bill that will bring these combatants into Gitmo instead of incarcerating them where they turn them loose.
So you know, Senator, I'm sorry. I studied the legal proceedings against the Gestapo Nazi spies who landed in America in the 40s. Hitler sent them over here, you know, on submarines. They were all captured. You know that they were all tried by military tribunals under the Quirin et al. You know that one. And the reason I've quoted this over and over for the years is that FDR was a far-left president, and it was his Justice Department that said no to civilian trials. His Justice Department argued that we should use military tribunals, and in fact they did. And the arguments were presented in a case called Quirin et al. And I don't understand why the Obama administration has not been forced to look at the FDR the Justice Department's ruling on how to handle combatants.
Exactly, and that talked all about the rules of evidence. If you, give them all, the other day, Porter Goss, and he was my favorite guy in that job that he had, he said, you know, you really want to read them their Miranda rights and all this. Yeah, FDR was smart enough to know that you couldn't do it that way, and I don't know why.
Yes.
But anyway, if we're going to do it, it's going to have to be done the way the four that are taking place right now is a military tribunal. And I'd say any high-value detainee should be sent to Gitmo. Let's use that facility. Let's get this war over and quit worrying about whether or not
yes.
they're going to offend
it. Yes. Amen. Let's stop worrying about the Arab street and their sensibilities. Let them start thinking about the good old American street and what we think. That's what I've been saying for years on the show.
Netanyahu is coming to Washington. You know that, don't you? Next week.
I didn't know that.
Remember. Yeah, he is, and he's one of my heroes. I just was over and spent some quality time with him just a few weeks ago. He's coming. It's going to be interesting to see what Obama tells him.
Well, God only knows what's coming next with regard to Israel, but we'll have to take one shock to the system after another. Senator Inhofe, let me let you go on this beautiful Friday. I hope this is a weekend you're going to be with your family. Is that so?
I'm with them right now.
Oh, man, I would tell you the truth. I would donate the maximum amount to your reelection campaign to be at your next barbecue.
Okay. I'll take you up on that.
All right. Hey, thanks. Thanks very much. God bless you and God bless your family. Thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Thanks.
Oh, man. You see, once in a while, you have faith restored in the government. And you got to understand that Senator Inhofe is what it's all about. It's men like Senator Inhofe who keep me chugging along here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night my
whistling in the wind. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I was celebrating the Oklahomans today because we have had an interview with Senator Inhofe, the Senator Inhofe, one of the great ones. And I enjoyed the interview. I rarely do interviews. I don't do politicians very often. You know, but he gave me great faith. Could you imagine America he's not running, okay? But could you imagine if a man like Senator Inhofe was president? Could you imagine waking up every day and saying, I feel safer today? The man is the president of the United States with his mentality, his incredible Americanism, his great family, his 12 grandchildren. We know where he was born, served in the army, flies an airplane, didn't study Karl Marx at college, ran small businesses for over 30 years, as opposed to sitting at the feet of Reverend Wright. Could you imagine an America once again having a president such as he? And yet we don't have one candidate like that. You know what I'm saying? So don't call me. Of course you can. You can imagine it. We all wish to God a candidate would appear like this. Honest to God. Anyway, let's get back to the main question. If you could pervert your mind sufficient to think the way the enemies of freedom think, if you can consider these animals human beings, which I don't, I consider them subhumans, because a human being doesn't spend his everyday thinking how to decapitate another human being, how to set off a nail bomb in a shopping center, how to kill fellow Muslims, Christians, Jews, Hindus, anybody, kill them all. Kill them all for some perverted view of your religion and your God. Anyone who thinks like that is 1,000 years in the past. But try to think, become the reptilian self. Go back to your atavistic self. Become the meanest, most horrendous part of yourself. Let it live. Let the reptile in you crawl outside your skin. Become a reptile like they are, and think how these reptiles will come at us next. And give me a call, will you? How will these reptiles try to attack us next? One of the reptiles tried to bring down a plane Monday, if you remember, screaming Allah Akbar. It wasn't the TSA who stopped him. Apparently, he wasn't even frisked. No, the TSA was busy frisking an infant in a diaper. Big Sis was busy investigating the private parts of a nun and your grandmother. But this guy apparently waltzed right onto an airplane. And before it landed, he tried to break into the cabin of the plane, pounded on the door, screamed Allah Akbar. That's apparently because the TSA was afraid of offending him, that he would scream about racial profiling. So they didn't investigate him, no, not at all. But your grandchild got investigated. This is the upside-down world we live in. Let's take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. It is Friday. I like that Oklahoma. It was very, very, there's a word I have for it, but I can't use. Play Oklahoma again for me. It was very, like, old Broadway, big city.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Oklahoma. Remember those days? Musicals. I never went to one in my life. My family wasn't a musical kind of family, but we knew people. Allegedly, there were some people who went to musicals, but somehow the records were heard. Other people did. American people went to them. We didn't. We were immigrant family. We didn't go to see Oklahoma. Anyway, I'm just reminiscing. the real Americans, Oklahomans.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Bump and grind on a Savage Nation.
Girl, see what you
have. What a great world it would be if we had a president like that, huh? If you just joined the show, or turn it off. Right? I had Senator Inhofe on in the last hour. Now, I'm not one to adulate congressmen, senators, but you know, Congressman West is a hero of mine. Senator Inhofe is a hero of mine. You know, as cynical as I sound, you think I don't want to wake up in the morning and look up to a president? You think I just want to sit here and negate President Obama? You think I enjoy doing it? I do it because we're in such danger. I would like to wake up and have like a John Wayne in the White House. And to me, Senator Inhofe was like speaking to John Wayne reincarnated. Probably better. I mean, here's a guy who served in the Army, flies his own plane, married for 50 years to the same woman, 4 grown children, 12 grandchildren. They all live near each other. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine if we had a man like this running the country? Unbelievable to me what it would be like to wake up like that, to a country like that. What a great America. I mean, the people are still here. The immigrants would love to have someone like that to look up to. You think they don't want to look up to a great American? They do. You think they're not fed up with the phonies and the lizards? You know, you hear of a family like this, 4 children, grown children, and 12 grandchildren. So the mom and dad had 4 children. Each child had 4 children. because they're great role models. That's what we need for a president, a great role model. Instead, we got a vegetable grower. We got a vegetable grower and someone who invites poets to write poems about their shoes in their closet. That's their idea of literature. That's what we have now. But I'll tell you the truth. 4 children and 12 grandchildren all living on the same block and they get along. I'm embarrassed to say. I mean, you put my whole family in a room together. Within 3 minutes, somebody's mad at somebody. Within 3 minutes, somebody slighted somebody and they're offended. They're already on the back of the room. They're looking. They're on the cell phone. What happened? We don't know, but she's looking the other way. How come? Well, he did that, and he looked the other. 4 minutes later, there's already a walkout, one walkout. That's if they all show up. There's usually one who doesn't show up because of some reason, some slight from 53 years ago. That's to start the ball rolling. I mean, the difference in fans, it's unbelievable. I don't think we've ever sat through a meal together without some upset, like a flare-up, a flare. Like a flare goes off. No one even knows how it happened. It starts over a simple thing like the bread or the someone says something about the olive oil or the chicken wasn't cooked. I don't know how this happens. It's unbelievable. How do they sit together? 48. How many children? 4 and 12. That's 12 and 4, 16. That's 18 people sit down at a table together and they talk to each other. No arguments, no flare-ups. Nobody runs away angry and no one's... I don't understand how a family... I mean, I admire it. Don't get me wrong. I wish I had it. I love my children. God bless them when I see them every once in a few years. And we get together with 3 different Thanksgiving dinners at 3 different houses because we all can't be in the same room together. But can you imagine having 18 people in the same family? I mean, I loved it. Ever since I've been a kid, I dreamed of that. I remember seeing a movie, 7 Brides for 7 Brothers. Show you what a romantic I am at heart. Imagine that. Does anyone remember that movie from the 60s or 50s, probably? It was 7 Brides for 7 Brothers. They lived in like a bunkhouse, and all the brothers grew up together. They loved each other. They all were ruddy. They rode horses. They rode bucking broncos. They had jeeps. They had haystacks. They had pitchforks. They had guns. And then they met 7 brides that were all cute with freckles and dungarees, and each looked like Debbie Reynolds, and everyone was singing Oklahoma together. And they all got married. They had 7 children. Oh, man, 49. Yeah, that was the fantasy. But some people just have that. That's all. I'm not complaining. All right, let's move on. I had my fantasy. It's a Friday afternoon. I'm having a good time. I hope you are. You want me to tell you something? I just figured something out when Senator Inhofe was on the show. May I share this with you? I will anyway. But let me share this with you. I just realized when I took a break during the interview with Senator Inhofe or after it, I went over to the radio station sink to have a drink. And I said, you know, a radio show is good when you're listening to it and you wish you could be there with the people who are on the air. The mark of a great radio show is like you want to be there with that guy. You wish you knew him. You wish you could, like, spend time with him. Like you want to be in that room with him and the guest and you wish you were there on the inside. That's the mark of a good show. Well, I think it's whether it's radio or any other entertainment. You want to be there with the performers. That's what you want to do, is you want to be there. And I felt while I was speaking with Senator Inhofe, you wanted to be here. You wished you could be here, right? You felt that connection. You felt good about being an American again. You know, I don't want to compare and contrast, but when you think about a lot of what goes on in the media, it's like you don't even want to be there with that guy. And yet it's HBO hires them, and they put out the most vile, filthy language. It's not necessary to do that to attract an audience. You don't have to go to that level. You don't have to be disgusting to attract an audience and hold on to them. I never use a dirty word in a show in 16 years. I'm still on radio. How did that happen? How come I don't have to resort to it? All right, whatever. I don't think I want to work at all right now. Do I have to work? Do I have to do like show stuff? Syrian troops open fire despite promises. I mean, you're shocked by Assad. You're shocked by this psychopath goofball with the big head who looks like a macrocephalic? The whole family looks like the macrocephalics. Back to the father, but this one in particular looks like a circus freak. I mean, we have cruise missiles. What are they for? Why are they letting this guy walk the earth? He's killing his own people. This has nothing to do with Muslim. This is to do with a psychopathic Hitler in Syria, shooting on his own people, blowing them down in the street, tanks. Why isn't he knocked out by the SEALs? What do you give a damn what the perverts at the UN will say to you on Monday? They're busy raking it in as fast as they can. Gaddafi says, I'm alive in a place where you can't find me. Guess he's in the CNN newsroom somewhere in a secure facility. I'm not allowed to read the Drudge Report on the air because I told Matt I would. A lot of people do that for show prep. In Iran, court to let victim to pour acid into eyes of attacker. Well, that's an advanced culture. You know, that's an advanced society. You see, this is what we need in America. We need some advanced legal system like Sharia law where the judge says you can pour acid into the eye of the attacker. See, this is what we need. We need diversity in America. We need to bring that to America so we become more like the third and call that poetry and literature. And eventually you wind up with a judge. Well, take a look at some of the judges that were appointed by Obama. They're not too far away from Sharia law themselves. When you look at their mentality, it makes you wonder. No, I could see that some of them would say, yes, it's a cultural thing. I could see that happening. Yes, it's a cultural defense. Although he poured acid in the eyes of the wife because she cheated on him, we understand that because it's cultural. In his society, there are a lot of pour acid into the eyes, so therefore we're going to allow it. Next case, I got to go back and write a story tomorrow for the ACLU. Georgia Cleve, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, I have the same kind of fantasies that you do about having that kind of family that the senator has. You know, I've looked for it my whole life. I grew up in a small town in Appalachian Mountains in a coal mining town, and it was just like Mayberry RFD. I miss it very much.
No, I don't see. You're saying you also dream of having a big family that loves each other? Is that it?
Absolutely.
Well, right, but how many families have that anymore? But when you see a senator who's like that, that's the kind of person who's a role model.
They're still out there.
They are still out there. They're right. They're the silent few. They're the backbone of America. They're the vertebrae. They're the vertebral column of the United States of America. Instead, all we're seeing are the squamous cells dancing around in HBO. All HBO gives us is the squamous cells from certain parts of the body that I can't mention because it's a family show. 1-800-449-8255. What will the terrorists do? Now, put your mind in the mindset of a 1,000-year-old reptilian human being, a subhuman who thinks only of killing Christians, Jews, Hindus, fellow Muslims, anyone who doesn't adhere to their throwback mentality. How will they attack us? Mary in New York, Mary in New York on WOR. What do you think they're going to do?
I fear they're going to take down the George Washington Bridge.
Why?
I don't know, because when I ride over it, I'm always terrified.
Do you think because of the name? Wait, you're saying because it's called George Washington? Is that it?
No, just because there's so many people, it's so crowded all the time. And it's so, I don't know, I just...
It's funny. It's a funny story that you tell. I mean, it's funny in a way, I can't even tell you why I'm saying that. You know, I have a novel coming out in September, and I projected a little fantasy of Islamists in America and what target they might have. It is a bridge, one of the targets, but it isn't the GW. Okay, I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I teach a class at the University of Pennsylvania called Uncreative Writing, where they are penalized for any shred of creativity or originality that they show. These kids surreptitiously know so well how to plagiarize, how to by creating and copying, cutting and pasting, but it's always on the down low. In this class, I say...
I turn the clown off. This is who was in the White House. This is the... This is what I'm giving an example of what the Obamas have done to America culturally and socially. They bring a 10th-rate clown like this in, who boasts about that he teaches his children how to, his students, so to speak, at the once ex-University of Pennsylvania. It's become a cesspool, what's happened there. And he talks about uncreative writing and how to plagiarize. You hear? Now, when you have a plagiarist in the White House, he would think that having a plagiarist pretending to be a poet in the White House in a poetry event, what is this, like Abby Hoffman too? I mean, this is what I'm talking about here. This is not poetry. This is the debasement of our culture. It's part of the Marxist class warfare. This is what he does, and this is what he does, and this is how he does it. You say, what are you going on about? All right, I'm showing you who he had there. It wasn't just the rapper. He has this putz there talking about teaching children You can't write anything creative and original. You have to plagiarize everything you turn in. This is a teacher in a college. This is what's going passing now for a college teacher. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What's the next target? Steve in Las Vegas, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hoover Dam. You're asking about what I think that would be a good target or one that they would be possibly interested in. The Hoover Dam, until recently, you could actually do a hard hat tour through the entire bowels of the dam. Anyone can go through there, and even now, as important as this structure is to the Southwest and really to the American psyche, it's still something you can drive over.
Well, I think that we, for the sake of cultural diversity, we should bring jihadists in from Yemen and Somalia and show them one of the great epic constructions of Western civilization in the hope that they, too, will go back to their destitute throwback land and they, too, will want to study engineering and build a dam. I suspect that's not what will happen, though.
No. You know, right now we're so porous in so many ways. I mean, the only way...
Right. We're idiots. We're stupid morons. To let them even walk around the dam. I give them a walk around the dam. I give them a one-way trip to the top of the dam. I bring them up from Guantanamo and show them what it is on the bottom and give them a toss. That would be the justice.
Yeah.
That's all. I'm sick of it. I don't want to get started about this. But, okay, use your worst imagination. Take the worst thing you could think they're going to do to us. What are they going to do? Idaho, Bill, what will the reptilians do?
Hi, Mike. I think they're going to hit the amusement parks because they want to kill a lot of people. And there's where, like, Disney World and places like that where a lot of people go. Plus, I think it's a animal instinct of jealousy is what drives these people, too.
Yes, I totally agree with you. They're jealous of Western civilization because they can't reproduce it. They're stuck in the 500 to 1,000 years ago. And so instead of creating, they destroy, and they think that destruction is creation. It goes back to Obama inviting a so-called college teacher who teaches children to write uncreative writing, where you're not allowed to write anything original and you must plagiarize. It's the same mentality. It's the destruction of Western civilization. In that sense, Obama is acting in a rather schizophrenic manner to have a poetry event and invite someone who teaches children that they must plagiarize. You follow where I'm coming from here?
Right. Yeah.
All right. It's a little too esoteric. I get it. New York City, WOR, Mike, what's your worst fear? Go ahead, please.
Subway systems, Mike. Could be sheer devastation. New York, Los Angeles, you name it, it could just be sheer devastation.
It would be sheer devastation. So how do you prevent an attack on a subway?
You just got to keep vigilant. Like Big Sis says, if you see something, say something. I don't mean to reference her.
Yeah, well, she's busy frisking infants rather than frisking Islamists. I mean, they had an incident on a plane the other day. How did he get through to the TSA? Screaming Allah Akbar, trying to pound his way in through the cockpit. How'd he get onto an airplane?
They're too lenient, Mike. They're too lenient.
Yeah, they're testing. They're doing dry runs to see how far they can go till they do it again. That's because we're still weak and stupid. When you have a government that's intent on not offending Muslims and instead focusing on white babies and strollers, that's why we're going to get hit again. Not because we can't defend ourselves. Believe me, we can defend ourselves. The people know how to defend themselves from these reptiles. New York, Bill, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. What happened to Sundays when you sat down with the family to eat a meal when the stores were closed on Sundays? I missed that. That brings family together.
Well, that's a story that's already under the bridge a long time ago. That's water under the bridge, as they would say, right?
Right. Also, in high school, you said you went swimming nude. I tell people that when I went to Andrew Jackson High School. I'm the same age as you. Nobody believes me. Why did we have to do that?
Well, I was offended by it as a kid. I knew there was something wrong. Didn't you feel there was something wrong with it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I knew that the coach was a pervert. I knew he was a sick, degenerate pervert. I felt it. I felt his sick eyes on me. All right, guys, get in the pool now. All right, get them shorts off. Let's get in the locker room. I could see him to this day, that little... He was a pervert. I know that.
Why did we have to do it?
Why'd we have to do it? Because if you didn't do it, all right, you failed, Jim. Come and see me a little later in a locker room. You won't go in a pool nude, huh? All right, Jimmy, come on into the locker room with me. Yeah, see me there about 3:30.
Savage.
So what are the next targets from the reptiles, the reptilian throwbacks, the atavistic subhumans who spend their every waking minute thinking how they can cut off someone's head or kill somebody, not how to heal a wound, not how to calm a murmuring heart, not how to pick up a frail little baby and tenderly hold it, not how to heal a dog, not how to take care of a cat, but how to mutilate everything decent and good about the human race. What will they do to us next? And why are we sitting here even talking about it? Now, we did take the war to the enemy over 2 weeks ago when Obama unleashed the SEALs on Osama bin Laden. I wish to God this is a pattern that's going to emerge. We should be taking the war to them every day of the week. That's what the military is for, and we have the men capable of doing it. It was a great day. It was a great day, and you start splitting hairs. Sure, it was based upon Gitmo testimony. Great. But it did happen. The question is now, what are we sitting here waiting for them to hurt us? Why? We have more armed men in this country than in most armies of the world. There are more civilians with arms in this country than most standing armies on earth, with the exception of a few nations. Do you know that? You make the armed men and women of this country part of the National Home Guard, and you tell them who to look for, and I guarantee you the chances of another bomb going off or a plane falling out of the sky reduce themselves to near zero. You can't leave it all to the government. The government does the best it can. FBI, Homeland Security, they're great people. They're the people in the field. They're doing the best they can. Take control to a certain extent, and you let them. Then you have a real good chance of stopping one of the reptiles. Probably a 99% chance of stopping a reptile. Instead of sitting here talking about what are they going to do next. Joe in Las Vegas, go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I think it's going to be a simultaneous assault on our malls. And the reason is, I believe, people feel comfortable, there's no security, and you can inflict a lot of casualties that way.
Well, remember the Bali disco bombing? Remember where they hit in Bali and where they hit in London, the subway, Spain's subway? And it was the Bali disco bombing. So they've always chosen soft targets in that regard outside the United States. That is true.
Soft, I mean,
so how do you defend against it? Tell me how you defend against it.
Well, just like you said, doctor, I mean, I'm a gun-toting, carrying, concealed, red-blooded American, and you're right. We have to be vigilant and, like you said, use our resources, which are our people. And
that's right. The government needs to deputize 1 million armed citizens to become part of the American Home Guard to fight against this war. And if we lose this war, the world goes into 1,000 years of darkness. It will never recover from this. If we let these bastards take us down by one blow after another through 1,000 slashes, we're going to be living, our descendants will have 1,000 years of darkness.
Yeah.
No, they've got to say, we've got a demand of these, the government, which says, okay, only we can do it. Only we can look at the pictures of OBL. I disagree 100%. We have more armed people in this country who know how to use weapons than most standing armies, certainly of Western Europe. And I would say we need to deputize 1 million American men and women. And you give them a lot of leeway in who they can start investigating out there in the malls. I don't give a damn about the ACLU. I know what I'm saying is frightening them. I realize all the cockamamie anti-American throwback ACLUers are saying, oh, it's an invasion of liberties. How would you like it if they stopped you or your wife and asked you what you were doing in the mall? I don't care. They could stop me all I want because I'm going there to buy a tube of shaving cream. I'm not going there to mutilate a crowd. You're going to ask me anything you want. You can ask me anything you want because I guarantee you that you're not going to find anything on me. Now, we know who to look for. I mean, let's clear the air. Let's stop already with we don't know where to look. I mean, what are we, all stupid and blind? What are we, dumb? 1942, they didn't know whether to look within the German or the Japanese community. They didn't look in the Finn, amongst the Finns and the Irish. They didn't investigate the Chinese. They knew where to look for the spies and the saboteurs. They did a very good job of it, too, by the way. They didn't have to consult the ACLU to see what they... Where'd the ACLU come from? Where did the shadow government come from? Who put the shadow government here? These left-wing fanatics, these cowardly throwbacks. Who gave them their money? I know a few guys. I know where some of their money came. I know the largest single donation they got was $9 million. And it came from two people who made their money by robbing the savings and loan that they owned blind. They ripped it off. They sold it before everything collapsed. Two of the biggest crooks in history made billions of dollars saving their names one day, if you'd like it. And they gave $9 million to the ACLU. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would people who made over $2 billion in selling a savings and loans firm that was loaded up, chock full of useless mortgages, and they make billions of dollars, and they give, why would they give money to the ACLU? Because they figured one day they're going to be investigated. God forbid that a government should come along that they're not able to control through other payoffs. They're going to turn to the boys in the ACLU to scream racism, to scream, come up with a few different, games, invasion of privacy, whatever. And so that's why they pay off the ACLU. It's basically a mafia. The ACLU is a legal mafia, a left-wing legal mafia. Let's put it to you that way. I allege the ACLU has done more damage to this nation than La Cosa Nostra. I allege that the ACLU has stolen more has stolen more productivity from America than organized crime has. I allege the damage done to this country by those lawyers is greater than any organized crime team in the history of this country. You could take the five families together that haven't robbed as much or caused as much destruction as the ACLU has to this nation. So as I say, I could care less what they think. They're not the government. Who the hell are they? What, because they planted some of their friends in dirty, stinking black robes on courts that makes them God Almighty? We could solve that pretty quickly. Take them off the courts and take their robes and burn the robes and get rid of those perverted. Oh, don't get me started. I have a vision for America. Like Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream, I have a dream too. I have a dream how to clean up America. Believe me, it could happen real fast. So you ought to be thankful that I'm only on radio. That's all I could say. Just be thankful. I have no desire to go into politics. But you know, the reason I'm sharing some of these visions of a real America with my listeners today on this day is because I know millions of you have the same vision for this country. I know that you know how to clean this country up. I know you know how to protect us. I know you'd love to be part of the Home Guard. I know who stand in the way of our freedom and our prosperity. I understand that. Believe me, I understand it. But we need a politician to stand up and say, you know what? I know the heartbeat of America, and I'm here for you. We're not hearing that. They're going to undo Obamacare. You hear? That's the big thing Romney's offering us. He's going to undo Obamacare and give us Romney care. I mean, great. What a start. What a start that is. That's just what the doctor ordered now at this day, May 13th, Friday the 13th. Ooh, Friday the 13th. 5 and 13 and 20, 11 minus 2 minus 9 minus 3 equals 11. 11 minus 2 minus 13 equals 9. 9 plus 13 plus 11 minus equals 11. Where's the numbers guy to tell me what's going to happen on 5, 13, 20, 11? We need the numbers guy today. Sacramento, David, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, I think we need to ask ourselves, that if you're a terrorist, what basis are you making your decision for where to attack? Obviously, one of the aspects they have to look at is ease of access. Now, look at Southern California, specifically San Diego. How much of our military is based in San Diego alone? And how easy is it for a terrorist to access that area simply by shaving your head, shaving your beard, and coming across the border under, we all know what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah, well, don't tell that to Big Sis, because she says the borders are secure. Obama gave a speech to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce saying the borders are now secure. What, is the guy delusional? We all know the border is as porous as Swiss cheese. He makes it up. He said it, so therefore it's true. It's nonsense.
Well, what do you want to...
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Middle Easterners have snuck across the border by shaving their heads, growing a mustache, and coming up with a Hispanic surname. We know that to be a fact. Ask the Border Patrol. They'll be glad to tell it to you. Not the stooge who runs the Border Patrol. He's just a politician. Ask the guys down there on the ground and tell what they're finding. They're finding Qurans in the desert. They're finding Arabic training manuals in the desert. But you haven't read that in your local paper, have you?
Of course not. You know, you look at what Canada does and how they secure their borders. And if you've been to Canada, you get there, it's very tough. They ask you a lot of questions. They look at your passport. You get into California, they wave you in. It's absolutely amazing how easy.
Well, you know, let's go back to the Fort Hood massacre by the Muslim major Nidal Hassan. How come he has not yet gone to trial? Can anyone explain that to me? Why is there no trial for Nidal Hassan while U.S. Army soldiers accused of crimes they didn't commit in Iraq and in Afghanistan are tried almost immediately and thrown into a life sentence as the young man I've been trying to help on my website? How come? Why is it that soldiers and Marines who are falsely accused are given speedy trials and thrown into dark cells in places that you wouldn't put a terrorist? The terrorists are being fed 6 halal meals a day, prayer mats, volleyball, gaining weight, nice and sun, good sunny island. And we got soldiers like that Army Ranger who I've defended, raised money for, who's suffering and rotting in Fort in Leavenworth, a Civil War era prison. And Major Nidal Hassan, who killed 13 and wounded 40 people, is enjoying all the comforts of a military hospital. He has not yet been tried. Why is that? Tell me why he's not been brought to trial. There's only one answer. Because Barack Hussein Obama does not want to put a Muslim on trial in this country for virtually anything. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Here's an article just came out. Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano had dinner Wednesday night with Representative Peter King, New York Republican, at a steakhouse in Washington, D.C. Now, King, as you well know, held the hearings on the dangers of radical Muslims here in America. And someone says they don't know what they talked about. It looked more like a social meeting than a work meeting. None of them would tell what King and Napolitano were talking about. I suspect that, I would imagine that Janet Napolitano was giving Peter King some bowling tips. Probably, now Pete, how's what we do? When we go into the lanes after a hard day, you know, the way we do it, Pete, let's put aside the whole hearing business and let's put our axes down for a minute. The way we throw the ball, the way we do it, Pete, here's the way we get our best scores. The girls and I figured out a long time ago that you got to throw a double curve into that lane. I would imagine that's what they were talking about. They wouldn't be talking about anything else. I would think bowling is the topic. After all, we the people are not entitled to know what a congressman speaks about when he meets the Department of Homeland Security secretary who criticized them for holding hearings on radical Islam in America. Just as we can't see the Osama bin Laden photos, only the elites can see them because they're mature enough. As you well know, Carl Levin is certainly mature enough. He is a man who never fired a Daisy BB gun in his life. I would think he's in therapy. If they ever showed Carl Levin the pictures of Osama bin Laden after being executed, I would think that Levin will be in therapy for the rest of his life. But we, the American people, are too childish, immature. We're 4/5 of human, according to the Obama administration. We're not full human beings the way Janet Napolitano and some of the members of the Senate and committees. I mean, after all, Dianne Feinstein, now there's a full person. But you're only 4/5 of a Dianne Feinstein. She can look at the picture and she's mature enough to see the picture of OBL and not get crazy. But you can't see the picture. Instead, you can go to something produced by Steven Spielberg, which shows people's guts coming out of their eyes. And that's not that doesn't offend you. You're supposed to buy popcorn at the same time with blood butter on it. I mean, it's crazy. The whole picture is just schizophrenia. Just crazy. That's how I see it. New York WOR, Brian, welcome to the program.
I don't think they have the organizational capabilities anymore to pull off anything big. I think the most they could do is maybe three or four guys getting together with machine guns and raking a group of people at different areas at the same time, which is scary enough.
Well, okay, let's start with that. They just arrested a couple of Muslims who wanted to buy hand grenades to kill Jews in a synagogue in New York. Is that correct?
Exactly.
All right. Now, the NYPD is arrested them, and New York City is going to prosecute. But did you know that the Federal Joint Anti-Terrorism Task Force refused to prosecute those Muslims? Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Why is it that this federal government is acting in such a schizophrenic manner? On one hand, they take out OBL. On the other hand, they try to close down Gitmo. On one hand, they do something. They interrupt the terrorist act. On the other hand, they won't even prosecute those that they catch. What do you think is going on here? What's going on here is that there's a war inside the federal government between the old guard and those who are sane and those who are committed to our survival and the new guard Marxists, or shall I say the Islamist Marxists, or shall I say the Marxists with Islamist leanings, or shall I say the Marxists who realize that a friend, an enemy of my enemy is my friend group within the White House and the administration. There's an absolute war going on inside this government. That's the answer to that question. Miami, Leon, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. I lived in California for about 30 years in the Bay Area. Started listening
right.
to you when you're on Sunday nights with Dr. Wattenberg.
Oh, yes. Yep.
As you all know, when you live in San Francisco, you get most of your water from Hetch Hetchy.
Yes.
The rest of the state, a lot of the water is diverted from the Sierras down through Sacramento. Huge levee system there in Sacramento. Now,
yes.
It does not take very much. It's there's two types of levees. Ones that fail, ones that have yet to fail. It wouldn't take a whole lot, and I'm not trying to give any ideas, but this is a place, California vis-a-vis Santa Clara, where there is a huge presence of Wahhabists that are active. And that, yes, as you're saying, what we need are citizen marshals.
That's right. Home Guard, deputized Home Guard Americans. You heard it first on this program. 1 million of us who are armed and willing to defend America as part of the Home Guard in this war we're fighting for the survival of the war where these people live. We know who they are. Let's not mistake. We're going to leave the government bull crap that they look like Irishmen. They're not Irishmen. Let's stop with this garbage already and stop and take our heads out from our pant leg. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you're exactly right, Michael.
I'm sick of this double talk. I feel like I'm living in a crazy house. Every day they're stopping another Muslim who tries to kill somebody, and then they say the Muslim, come on, stop with the garbage already. When did you last hear an imam come out and say, thank God they killed Osama bin Laden? When did you hear an imam celebrate that? When did you last hear an imam say it's time to prosecute Major Nidal Hassan for the Fort Hood massacre? When have you last heard an imam here in America say one thing that gives you any confidence that they're on your side? I haven't heard one. I haven't heard one, so forgive me for speaking out of turn here. I am sick and tired of the government propaganda, and I, for one, am not going to engage in it. That's not what I'm paid to do. I am paid here to educate the government as to what the people here think and what the people think and what the people want done, not the other way around. I'm not here to become a voice like ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox News and start brainwashing you. And tell you what you're supposed to think, what the powers that be want you to think and do. Like that 20-watt bulb, Juan Williams, telling you that you should grant amnesty to illegal aliens. I mean, what do you expect from a guy from NPR? Suddenly he became a conservative because Rupert Murdoch threw a couple of grand at him. Are you kidding me? Okay, whatever. He's doing the best he can for his limitations. But the fact of the matter is, I'm not here to listen to them tell me what I'm supposed to think. I'm telling you what I think needs to be done. And what needs to be done is that this government needs to be forced to deputize 1 million men and women who are armed and capable of using a weapon and deputize them to become part of the Home Guard, a new standing army, as every other nation in history has done when they are at war. Make no mistake about it. They are at war with us. The problem is we're not really at war with them. They are spending their every waking minute thinking about how to maim you and your children. They've already turned you into a half slave who's lost half his liberties. And instead of inspecting the guy who ran screaming Allah Akbar up the plane the other day, they let him right through security. No one even asked where he came from. He didn't even speak English. How'd he get on a plane? But your infant child, they'll frisk a diaper. The perverts in the TSA are the big brave perverts. They'll all open up a diaper because there may be a bomb inside her diaper. I'm sick of it. It's time for we to tell the government what we think and what we want. Home Guard for the United States of America. 1 million armed men and women.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Some of the main topics that we're talking about on the Savage Nation today. The White House poetry event is still a big topic, if you can believe it. They had a so-called poet talking about a course he teaches in uncreative writing. That's right. This guy teaches at the University of Pennsylvania called uncreative writing, where you're allowed to write anything original and you must plagiarize everything you turn in. Isn't that great? Isn't now you understand why we think that the Obama White House itself is a plagiarism, a mocking of the presidency? Unbelievable that he'd be invited to the White House. Well, not really, when you consider that the inhabitant of the White House is himself fraudulent in so many ways. We're also talking about the culture war, which is being lost. For the last 10 years, the Republicans have literally ignored the culture wars in favor of other issues. And why do Republicans refuse to play this, their strongest suit? Why are they avoiding it? And what's the most important cultural war topic to you? We're also talking about the jihadist next door. You see, an American fighting for an Al-Qaeda-linked militant group led a pro-Al-Qaeda rally in Somalia this week. He vows revenge for the deaths of Osama bin Laden, and he threats retaliatory attacks within the United States. Now, you and I both know these could be stopped with severe racial profiling, which is the only thing that could save us. Oh, it may be a dirty word to you now, but a dirty bomb is dirtier than racial profiling. George W. Bush gives first public reaction to Osama bin Laden's death. He was informed of bin Laden's death during a meal with his wife, and he told Obama that it was a good call to go get bin Laden's compound. That's good. That's good. By comparison, he was a great president, you know. What else is in the news? Army plans to halt production of the M1 Abrams tank. Isn't that nice? We don't need tanks. We need night basketball and illegitimate poets in the White House.
Thanks for the memories.
Michelle Obama's thesis explains presence of a rapper. Apparently, someone on the American Thinker looked into this, and they looked into the First Lady's thesis as a student at Princeton. And they had some answers into her obvious psychological need to expose not only her own daughters to violent, sexualized rap lyrics, but other local children as well. You see, Mrs. Obama wrote this: Princeton educated blacks and the black community in 1985, when gangster rap was just beginning its very lucrative rise into the mainstream. Look into this. And that's why she invited a rapper to the White House. Mom gives Botox to 8-year-old daughter. How young is too young? Well, in America, no one's too young. Sidwell Friends School is being sued for $10 million over an affair. Sidwell? You mean they have a sex drive in a Quaker school? Well, all those oats, I guess they get to you. Today also on the Savage Nation, we had Senator Inhofe talking about the OBL pictures and why he thinks they should be released to the public. That's a very important story that you shouldn't miss. Sorry. Sadly, a bin Laden revenge attack killed 80 police recruits in Pakistan. The Taliban now says this is just a precursor to what they're going to do to us here in the United States. Now, you and I both know this could be stopped with racial profiling, as you would do with any enemy. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Man beheads woman in Spanish supermarket. Now, that's very interesting, because if you look it up, it says man. Do they mean a Spanish man, or is it a Muslim Spanish man, or is it a non-Muslim Spanish man? A man beheaded a British woman in a random attack in a supermarket on the Spanish resort island of Tenerife in the Canary Islands. That's all we know so far. But the suspect is not a Muslim. Well, we don't know. He's a homeless Bulgarian man with a police record. What does Bulgarian mean today? What does Irish mean today? We don't really know. We have no idea what it means. We know that the suspect had received treatment at the psychiatric unit of a local hospital in February after being involved in previous violent incidents, but because the West now is so deracinated and insane, they leave the man out to go and cut someone's head off. Let's not make a bad joke, but this is where I draw the line for myself. If you want to keep your head on your shoulders, that's where you ought to draw the line. Keep the violent in the nut houses, don't you think? Now, many of these stories can be seen on michaelsavage.com. As you can well imagine, not all of them are there, but some of them are there. Let's see what else made it to my website today. Why, just this morning I found these stories, which I think you should look at before they disappear for tomorrow's stories. The Taliban in Pakistan claim revenge for Osama in Pakistan's suicide bombing. They're fighting to bring down the nuclear-armed state and impose their vision of Islamist rule. We need them in this country like a hole in the head. There's jihadist next door. American leads Al-Qaeda rally. Another American. He grew up in the middle-class town of Daphne, Alabama. I guess he became Daffy and Daphne and became a Muslim. Officials found porn in the Bin Laden hideout. I think they're trying to smear him. Whatever. Osama shot while wearing his underwear, says James Inhofe. He'll be telling us about it. Actually, he's told us about it. You're going to hear it again in the Savage Nation. Two Muslims were held after weapons and threat against Jewish worshippers in New York City. Wall Street Journal says Romney is compromised. Duh. Gingrich feels heat for a warming global warming ad with Pelosi. I remember this one we ran on the show. The ad in which Gingrich and Pelosi don awkward smiles while talking about clean energy solutions is coming back to haunt them. As it should, Newt, really, you're too compromised for me, okay? Sheriff Joe rejects calls to quit. Why should he quit? He's doing his job. How about a man with 107 wives? Well, he's a Muslim, and they said you could only have four. He has 107 wives and 165 children. Thank God he doesn't live here in America, because they'd all be voting for Obama. The rapper invited to the White House was linked to Reverend Wright. Man drives 51 miles with wife on Van Roof. Colombo boss feared going to hell after nun's murder, say the feds. Al-Qaeda threatens Obama's grandmother in Kenya. Terrible. Bikini advertisement blacked out by Muslim extremists. Really? Extremists? Well, okay. Savage ratings soaring. If you don't believe me, check out the ratings on WOR as a sample of what's going on in the nation. All this and more, much, much more, right here on the Savage Nation. Let's go to Salt Lake City. Colleen, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
I wanted to talk about Mitt Romney. The truth is that Romney Care is a microcosm of what national reform is going to look like, and it is a nightmare.
Correct. Anyone Everybody in Massachusetts who's ever called this show has told us that that Romney Care has almost bankrupted the state.
Absolutely. And the problem is, if Mitt denies that plan and says it was a nightmare, he looks foolish. And if he defends it, he looks even more foolish. And knowing that he has a lot of great qualities, I believe Romney Care is the one thing that will do him in.
I had dinner with Mitt Romney a year and a half ago, which he probably regrets. And let me start by saying he's a very excellent man as a human being. You know that, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
There's absolutely nothing that you can fault this man with. He's got five wonderful children. He's a great family man. There's not a scandal in the man's past, and that's all positive. However, he's a classic liberal Republican in the worst possible way. He's a Rockefeller Republican. He's not going to do anything more than you got from the Democrats. It's going to be all window dressing with Romney. There's no fire. There's no attempts to control illegal immigration. When I brought up the issue of illegal immigration, he frankly was quite, he didn't get offended by it, but he said, how do you deal with that without being called a racist? You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
And so he doesn't really understand that you can just deal with an issue and take it on and say, I'm sorry, we can't afford to pay non-citizens medicine, medical care, and all of that. You can do it without being called a racist. What do you care what the vermin in the media say? They're all irrelevant anyway. So anyway, no, I don't think he can win, incidentally. I think he will eventually lose because he's too nice. We don't need nice. We need a vicious attack dog to go after Obama during the debates. We need somebody who's going to take the gloves off and point their fingers in his face and say you're the biggest fraud that ever came into the White House. You're an embarrassment both to your liberal base and to America. You are a disgrace to the American flag. Now that would get you elected. That's what most Americans think of this imposter. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Come on, let's get the music going, guys. Pump them up, pump them up. Get the people going. Bring them into the tent. You know, in a few minutes, I'll get into the whole fantasy of the killing of OBL, the latest circus created by the Obama administration. But I want to take you back approximately one day. Last night, yesterday, when I got off the air, I was in San Francisco, as I told you. The weather was just unbelievable. It was a Fellini night, I call it. A Fellini night in the sense that it was too hot for me. But the too hot days in San Francisco become perfect nights. No wind, stars in the sky. So I ambled up to the North Beach restaurant where my friend Lorenzo Petroni is the proprietor. And you know I've gone in and out of there for years. I got to tell you about a night. Because it is a political night in some way, but some way it isn't. And you know, they say living well is the best revenge. I got to rank last night as one of the best nights of my life. I know you say, what? Just had a meal? That's all it was? That was one of the best nights of your life? That's the whole point. And I'm going to show you what it was in a minute. So as I say, I go into the restaurant. It's still light out. I get into an argument with Lorenzo immediately because we're like family. We're always arguing over something. Either he's telling me to eat something I don't want to eat, or he's putting salt in my food when I don't want salt, or he's trying to push his soup on me when I don't want the soup. So last night it was over something else. I don't exactly know what it was. And then he says to me, Michael, you want to eat dinner with us? I said, no, I really just want to be alone. I'm exhausted. The show drained me. I'm tired. He said, no, I want you to meet some people. I said, leave me alone. I don't want to meet any people. He said, no, you got to meet these people. Okay, I'll meet the people. He said, no, he says... Up in Bodega Bay, the restaurant, the hotel, the Inn at the Tides. It was the inn in the movie. Remember the movie The Birds? Hitchcock, The Birds up there. I was interested because it's a beautiful town. I haven't been up there in years. He introduces me to Carlo Galazzo, general manager. Carlo and I hit it off right away. And we start to, you know, have some drinks. I don't know how it immediately wound up to burial and death. Now you say, well, wait a minute. I thought this was a good night. Yeah, it was a good night. But let me explain to you why I'm telling you the story. I'm telling you the story, A, because I want to tell you the story. B, because it was a beautiful night. And C, because at the end of the day, eventually Obama will leave us. The plague of the Obama administration will be gone. And most of us will be able to take a deep breath and try to get a few nights in like I had last night. And I'm not going to let him interfere with my ability to have a good drink and a good laugh. So we start to talk. And he had just come back from Italy with Lorenzo, where they went on a wine tour, and they went and visited some of the deceased in a cemetery outside of Lucca, strangely enough. And I was quite surprised to find that that's where some of the folks had been interred. Anyway, turns back to the dinner. So we get to the table, maybe 8, 10 of us. Tables are set up outside. It's long outside now, and people he kept bringing more people in. I didn't know who was going to be there. At this point, as Jackie Gleason said, I was feeling no pain. I just drank tons of his Sauvignon Blanc, which he makes out of his own grapes from his estate up in Sonoma. I'm drinking the Sauvignon Blanc, and we're eating the prosciutto, and the sand dabs come, then the broccolini. Then a guy is in the crowd. I don't know if I should mention his name, but he's got a dog named Duke. I'll just call him Matt. Matt's his first name. Now, Matt loves me and loves my show. I never met him. Lorenzo is a big man. Lorenzo is built like an oak tree. Let's put it to you that way. Don't try to arm wrestle Lorenzo. He may be 70-some-odd, but it'll break your hand. Matt makes Lorenzo look like a stick figure. So these guys are terrific. So Matt loves me. I love you. He says, I'm another right winger. He says, if it wasn't for you, I'd go crazy. He said, you are my God. Savage, I love your show. Without you, I'd go out of my mind. Where's your dog, Teddy? I've been wanting to meet you all my life. Where's Teddy? I want to see Teddy. I said, I don't have Teddy with me. But I want you to meet my dog, Duke. And he goes to the car. He opens the car, and Duke comes out. I don't know what kind of dog he was. He was like a cute dog with some terrier with short legs, but very stocky, much tougher than Teddy. And he says, I said, what do you feed him? He said, well, I feed him only dog food. I don't give him any human food. I said, well, you brought him to the wrong guy, because if you put him next to me at the table, he's going to get some of the bread and olive oil. He said, no, please don't feed him. Anyway, to make a long story short, Duke had some terrific Italian food last night. But I don't think Matt knows it. So we're eating, and the food is coming, and after 4 or 5 glasses of wine, I'm looking already up at the above to the stars, and my eyes stop on the overhead electric wires for the electric buses in San Francisco. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there are some older cities in America that still have overhead electric wires that they used to use for trolley cars. In San Francisco, they use them for the electric buses. And at a certain point in the night, I felt as though I was sitting right on the edge of the sidewalk in Fellini's Roma, where the trolley car comes within 6 inches of the person sitting on the outermost seat at the table, even though the table didn't go that far out. And I'm looking up at the stars, and I'm talking with these people. We're eating the food. We're drinking the wine. And I'll tell you the truth, it was one of those perfect moments. Now, needless to say, we didn't get into politics, but I do know this. There wasn't a liberal at the table. So let's play a little more Fellini music, and then we'll get into the Obama story here on the Savage Nation. Sand dabs. Sand dabs. It's a San Francisco thing, that fish. Oh, my God. But they were all talking in Italian. They think I don't understand Italian, but I know a bit of it after living here for so many years. So when I said, when he gave me the sand dabs without any sauce, I said, could you bring me some marinara sauce to put on it? He said to his son something fast in Italian, like, what, is he out of his mind? Putting a marinara sauce on a sand dab?
Savage.
Eric Stackelback is a regular columnist and regular contributor to the Savage Nation. He's written extensively about the war on terror, and he's with us now to talk about the possibility of yet another attack here in the U.S., and I don't doubt it. Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, this week we saw a radical Islamist attempt to take over the cockpit of an American Airlines flight. While he screamed Allah Akbar, his family said he was looking for the bathroom. Is this what you think they're going to do?
Michael, I've been warning about these attacks right here on the Savage Nation for some time now. You and I have discussed this. Self-starters, low-tech, inexpensive. This is the next wave. It's great that Osama bin Laden is dead, a great day for America, but this global radical Islamic jihadist movement is much broader than one man, and it's actually much broader than Al-Qaeda, Michael. I call it the chip-away strategy. You and I have discussed this. You chip away at this country's economy, chip away at this country's psyche if you have a bunch of these smaller scale attacks occurring with greater frequency. Anyone can join the jihad. This guy storming a cockpit, this Yemeni man on an airplane this week yelling Allahu Akbar, self-starters. Fort Hood, the Times Square bomber, the underwear bomber. This is the new blueprint. And think of the threat environment Israel lives under every day. This is the threat environment, Michael, that they are under, where you never know when the next attack is coming from. And I can tell you, as Al-Qaeda plots attacks bigger than 9/11, which is their ultimate goal, they raised the bar so high that day, they changed the course of history. In the meantime, they're saying, hey, we might have a winning strategy here with these smaller scale attacks. And they look at incidents like the underwear bomber, Michael, which was a failed attack, but in which the U.S. government passed blame, finger pointing. It was embarrassing, made us look weak, the Obama administration's reaction to that incident. So even that, in their eyes, is a victory.
What do you think is Al-Qaeda's long-term strategy for attacking us?
Michael, I think in the immediate, the short term, following Osama bin Laden's death, I think we really need to worry about these smaller scale attacks carried out by small groups or lone actors. on American soil. Maybe guys who have no direct links to Al-Qaeda, who've never traveled overseas, but who are inspired by Al-Qaeda, inspired by the movement. They've gone online to radical Islamic websites, to Al-Qaeda websites. They've become inspired. They want to be part of the cause. Buses, shopping malls. Think also of trains. Osama bin Laden, in his diaries, which we seized last week when he was killed, the Navy SEALs seized many thumb drives, hard drives, and his own diaries. And in his diaries, bin Laden said, we need to target mass transit, trains, in addition to airplanes. So that could be absolutely another target. And also, Michael, a soft target. Look, I'm on the train every day on the subway. Here in Washington, D.C., where I'm based, I have a backpack on. No one checks me. Very easy to carry a bomb onto a train via a backpack. One more thing to watch for, Michael. Smaller cities. Bin Laden explicitly mentions this in his diaries, which were seized last week. We should target smaller cities, as well as New York, Chicago, L.A., smaller cities. And I've been saying sometime for a while, Michael, and I talk about this in my book, The Terrorist Next Door, a Mumbai-style attack on American soil. You think of Mumbai, 2008, around Thanksgiving back then, 10 well-armed young terrorists. All they had were assault rifles and some bombs in their backpacks, literally shut down the second largest city in the world, Mumbai, India. Shut it down. Chaos. Killed 150 people, dominated the news cycle for a week. Al-Qaeda loves that. They sat back, they saw the Mumbai model, and they said, what if we transfer that to the West? What if we drop 10 well-armed young terrorists in a mid-sized American city, Des Moines, Cedar Rapids, have them fan out across the city and just start opening fire and wreak havoc? How would we respond to that? It would take a while. Then would the National Guard get involved? Who knows? But it would be something we would adjust to eventually, but there could be a lot of carnage in the meantime before we kind of get on the ball and learn how to confront that.
Well, do you actually think that releasing bin Laden's death photos would create a bigger risk for an attack?
My problem with not releasing bin Laden's death photos, Michael, and my problem with his proper Islamic burial at sea is that it was done in this push by the Obama administration to not offend Muslims, to not offend Muslim sensitivities. It's a moot point now. Al-Qaeda, the organization, released a statement earlier this week saying, yes, Osama bin Laden is dead. So now it's a moot point whether we see the picture or not when his own organization is admitting that he's gone. But my issue with this is this bend over backwards philosophy of this administration to not offend Muslims and hurt Muslim feelings. Who were they afraid of offending? If you're a truly moderate Muslim who does not support jihad, Sharia, and you didn't like Osama bin Laden, why the heck would you care how he was buried, number one, and number two, whether his death mask was released? You should be cheering and happy that he's dead. Look, if he truly distorted Islam, which is what Muslims say, Osama bin Laden was not a Muslim, even though he's quoting the Quran left and right. He's not a Muslim. He distorted our faith. He hijacked a great religion. Okay, then you should be happy that he's gone. You should be cheering his death. And why would you care how he's buried? If a guy ran into a shopping mall and shot 10 people and said he did it for Jesus, I'm a Christian. I could care less how he's buried. Don't give him a proper Christian burial. I think a Jew would say the same thing. So why would you care if you're truly a moderate, peace-loving Muslim, why a terrorist murderer, or how he is buried, or whether his death mask, his death pictures, are released? So that's my issue with that. And the radicals, if the Obama administration didn't want to offend the radicals, okay, they're already going to be offended, whether you release those photos or not, whether you give them a proper Islamic burial or not. The jihadists are going to want to attack us and avenge his death no matter what. Releasing the pictures and not giving him a proper burial does nothing more to inflame the radical jihadists. They're already inflamed.
What about the so-called Arab Spring? Do you actually think it's going to encourage a more moderate Islam, or, as I fear, the opposite?
The Arab Spring right now, we're at a very interesting point in the Muslim world with the so-called Arab Spring and Bin Laden's death. And Obama now is saying that he's going to make a major address next week on this Arab Spring and the death of Osama bin Laden, encouraging Muslims to turn away from radicalization and embrace the U.S. We're at a very interesting point. The problem with the Arab Spring, and even outlets like the New York Times and the Washington Post, which downplayed the Muslim Brotherhood factor in these Arab revolts and which portrayed them as some blossoming of democracy in the Muslim world, even they now are acknowledging, uh-oh, this Arab Spring is turning pretty dark. In every country where you see these revolts, in nearly every country where you see these revolts, Michael, the biggest beneficiaries are radical Islamists. Egypt is the most obvious example, Michael. You and I have discussed this. When Mubarak was thrown under the bus by the Obama administration, the Muslim Brotherhood benefited. They're now well on their way to seizing control of that country. It might not be for another 5 years, but they're on their way already. We see Muslims slaughtering Christians in Egypt, the Coptic Christian minority. We see more and more pushes, more and more statements among Muslim Brotherhood leaders to have Sharia in Egyptian society, Sharia law, to break the peace treaty with Israel, to forge closer ties with Iran. We were all saying this. As all this was going down, Michael, back in February, we were all saying, don't do it. The Brotherhood will benefit, Islamists will benefit, but the Obama administration threw Mubarak under the bus anyway and embraced the Brotherhood. Egypt is a microcosm of the broader Middle East. It's the most influential country in that region, culturally, militarily, politically, and when you look at these other movements in all the other countries, either Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda types are set to benefit from these revolts, or Iran is set to benefit from these revolts. So it's not quite panning out how the liberal mainstream media portrayed it at first. And it's interesting, Michael, the only two countries in that region where the alternative to the ruling regimes would actually be better, Iran and Syria, the Obama administration has completely sat on its hands. It empowered Islamists in Libya, in Egypt, yet in Iran, in 2009, when a million Iranians took to the streets demanding the overthrow of the mullahs, an avowed enemy of the United States, Obama said, and I quote, Michael, "We don't want to be seen as meddling." He didn't want to meddle. We had a golden opportunity to topple that regime. We didn't have to get involved militarily. There's a lot of ways you can aid in a revolution. Look at the Cold War. Look at the Solidarity Movement in Poland, what Reagan did there with Lech Walesa in Eastern Europe, Radio Free Europe under Soviet rule. We could have got involved in many ways and supported the voices of democracy in Iran. And there are some genuine voices for democracy in Iran. There is actually a democratic opposition there, unlike in Egypt and other places. The Obama administration sat on their hands, watched the Iranian goons, their goon squads, crack skulls and kill people, didn't say a word. And Michael, they're doing the same thing right now in Syria as Assad, who is a stooge of Iran, an Iranian ally, Hamas, Hezbollah, all in the same bed. They're doing the same thing. The Syrian regime is mowing down protesters in the streets, and the Obama administration can't muster. They muster some soft condemnations, and that's about it. In Syria and Iran, the alternatives to those two regimes, look, you can't get any worse than Ahmadinejad and the mullahs in Iran, and you can't really get any worse than Assad in Syria. You can't. So the alternatives to those two regimes, anything is better than those two regimes, yet Obama sits on his hands.
Eric Stackelback, thanks again for being with us on The Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. And be sure to check out my new book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat. Thanks again, Michael.
I'll be right back. Savage.
Where are you, little star?
I got Virginia Beach, I got a Houston, I got an Albany. So already the business is good, the tent is open, people are poking their noses in. They were saying, well, wait a minute, where's Savage today? I don't hear any screaming and yelling, I hear no anger, I hear no rage. Why is he not thundering at the pulpit? Why is he not saying that it's all going to come down unless we do X, Y, and Z. The answer is because I'm not. So we're resetting the show. We're starting from the beginning again. I'm going back to what I started with again. I'm going to tell you about the dinner last night, the weather, the people, the food, the wine, the overhead electric wires for the electric buses, the dog Duke, the prosciutto, the sand dabs, the broccolini, the Brunello, the Sauvignon Blanc, and the intertides and the birds. So there it is. It was older guys with some younger guys because his son was there, Marco, with people his age, which is always nice, the younger and the older guys, the mixture together. But the Teddy wasn't there was a real loss. I actually walked Duke up the street for Matt. I don't know why. I just felt like walking a dog. So I took Duke for a walk up to the corner, and there was a homeless guy who was like begging on the corner, you know, with something, playing an instrument. I don't know what he was doing. To show you how good I felt, I even gave him a dollar. Cymbal shot. No, even I mean, I generally don't give homeless people money. It's not that I'm cheap. I do give money, but I don't want to encourage it. But I don't know. I was like the guy, he wasn't bothering me. He was so happy I gave him a dollar. He's like one of the nice homeless bums, not the aggressive type. They leave him alone. Everyone leaves the guy alone because he's a nice homeless guy. And he probably makes a few bucks here and there, you know, to supplement the city money. But when Carlo told me about his restaurant up there, he actually brought down, he has a seafood, wholesale seafood operation up there. He brought down what's known as, there's a certain specialty of that coast, since he's also got fishermen working for him. Does anyone know what I'm talking about from that area, Bodega Bay? Who's listening to the show right now? People in New York never heard of this food. It's a kind of food. It's not scungili. This is different. Scungili is a snail. That's a New York thing. People in New Jersey, New York, let's say from your father's age, know about scungili. I had it once in the Beverly Hills in a restaurant up in the hills there because they're from New Jersey originally. The grandfather started it. You'd never believe that place. In the middle of nowhere, in a mountaintop off Mulholland Drive, there's like a great Italian restaurant where they have scungili. And so anyway, but this place, it's not scungili. I'm trying to remember it. Honest to God, I'm groping. Anyone who gets the name of that fish from, they die for it up there. Abalone. Right, they had abalone, but we didn't get it last night because there wasn't enough of it for everybody, so they didn't even cut it up. That's a real delicacy. I could do without it. I'll tell you, the sand dabs are great. And why am I talking about food? I'm telling you why I'm talking about food. Because it was beautiful. Don't you understand what I guess I'm trying to say something else to you. If you pay too much attention to Obama and the charlatans surrounding him and the lies coming out of the administration, you think the guys at this table didn't know what we could have spent the whole night screaming and yelling till our faces were red about this lying bum in the White House and the thieves and criminals around him? We didn't. We all know who he is. We're just sitting here biding our time till he's thrown out of office in 2012. And so, in other words, living well is the best revenge. Now, all of these guys are like new guys to me. I didn't know any of them. But the camaraderie with new people, I mean, except for Lorenzo, I didn't know any of these guys. It was incredible. But most of them were listeners, and they loved me. You know, there was tremendous love. I never go out and look for listeners. I mean, you know that I could do groups, thousands, and I don't do it. I'm very, very withdrawn, and I'm very elusive, and I'm also very hidden and secretive, truthfully. And I did this because I was around friends, and I felt totally at home, and it's that simple. Dave Sacramento, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, good to talk to you. You got me laughing within about a minute of your start today. That was great. I think you had what was called, we have them, if we're lucky, once every 10 years, a moment of rapture.
Well, I would call it a moment of a drunkenness, but okay, you can look at it either way.
I remember the last time I had one. I think I was in Paris about 10 years ago, just walking down.
Oh, you mean where everything clicked and everything was perfect?
Yeah, exactly. It's like God tickles your brain with all the
stuff. Okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, well, for me, it was a mixture of things, but it was not only the people and the food and the place. Truthfully, I don't drink wine much these days because I get sick from it. But I said, you know what? I'm going to drink wine. And I drank a lot of wine. And truthfully, it was worth it. It was worth how bad I felt. Thanks for the call. You want me to do politics or do you want me to continue to talk about the Fellini moment I had? Let's go to Florida. Michael, you're up. Your choice. Go ahead, please. Yes.
I like that. I'm the same way. I don't want to hear about all this business and all this politics. I know more than I want to know. What I want to know is what is the stuff you ate for dinner? what is broccolini and what is that? You were doing good. You were explaining.
Okay, so I started with prosciutto. You know what prosciutto is?
No, I don't.
Prosciutto is ham, basically, but he cures it himself down in the basement, in the prosciutto room. But you don't want to go down there unless you're invited. Let's put it to you that way. There's too many meat hooks hanging on the ceiling. So, I've joked about it with him 100 times. I said, I'm not in the mood to have a look at your prosciutto curing on the hooks tonight. basically, it's sliced very, very thin, sliced ham. Then I had sand dabs. That's fish. Broccolini is like a mixture of broccoli and eni. It's broccoli meets eni. It's broccoli mated with eni. Right now, I have a little time. One last call. Quick, Pittsburgh, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm calling you about your dental implants.
Yes.
I lived in Japan for 15 years back in the Wei day. The Japanese were leaders in dental implant, and that's why I'm a big fan of them. I happen to have four. The youngest one is 15 years old. When your surgeon talked to you, did he offer you a pig bone graft?
No. In fact, I specifically said I wanted plastic. I did not want a human cadaver bone, but that's what I got. But thus far, I have not been transformed into a communist or into anything else from the DNA of the human bone, because I suspect it was sterilized.
That the typical hog ground-up skull bone will graft with human bone. I have implants, Dr.
So in other words, if you use a pig bone implant, it's considered very good because it's compatible with human DNA. That's very nice. So all your life you could avoid pork, and then you could put in an implant and wind up walking around with Porky Pig in your head.
My head. Pig bone.
Do you feel any different because you have pig bone in your head? Has anything changed?
Savage.